So hello and welcome to a new episode of OTT Talks. I'm Andrea Bertel, on Think Tank's Research and Learning Director. OTT Talks is a series of friendly conversations with thought leaders and practitioners in the field of evidence-informed policymaking. In today's episode, we'll explore diversity, equity, inclusion in the think tank sector. And to help us probe this topic is Grant Dalton, a researcher at the Institute for Government, the UK's leading independent think tank, working to make government more effective. Grant's work at the Institute has included analyzing economic support policies during the COVID crisis and in an international context, comparing provision of social care in the four nations of the UK, and looking at reforms to public appointments and crisis response systems in public bodies. Grant is also one of the authors, the researchers behind the Institute for Government's report, 2022 report, Diversity and Inclusion in the Think Tank Sector. Welcome, Grant, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start right in. And the first question or that we'd like to discuss is, why is the issue of DEI important for think tanks?
I think my answer to this would be very simple. I think think tanks need to represent or at least understand the population they're dealing with. And I think to do that, they need to be diverse or at least representative. I think think tanks claim usually to be a kind of offering a take or their interpretation of how things should be done. And I think to do that well, they need to both understand the people that they're working with, but also be able to kind of challenge conventional thinking and think creatively. And I think diversity, a diverse and also inclusive working environment is absolutely crucial to that, because it means you might be able to have more flexible and diverse thinking. People from different backgrounds will have different ideas about how to do things and also different experiences of how government is working or how politics is working or different ideas about how things could change. So I think diversity is massively is essential to a good think tank.
And so it relates to the issue of representation then, whose voice gets heard because of the role that think tanks play. They have a unique position to inform, and they have sometimes they have the ears of people that make decisions. So representation seems to be an important aspect. But there's always the discussion of, so it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. We speak about them jointly a lot of time, but there are also there's different strategies for each of them. So with diversity, with equity and inclusion, what do you say would be the focus of the report that you've done? Were you focusing more on any of these aspects?
That's a good question. I think we probably talk more about diversity because a lot of the focus of the report is on getting recruitment right, getting the pipelines of talent right for think tanks. But I think a lot of the issues that have come up in the work that we've done actually relate to inclusion. People have perceptions around think tanks. And I should say that this report was mainly focused on the UK. So I'll be kind of talking about the UK mainly, but I imagine some of the lessons will apply elsewhere. There is a perception of that think tanks are not a particularly inclusive working environment, that they're kind of not for people like me. Especially if you're from a kind of underrepresented background, whether that's ethnic minorities or from a kind of lower socioeconomic background. And so getting think tanks to be an inclusive environment actually is I think quite a key step to making sure that they also become diverse, because you're not going to be able to recruit diverse people if they perceive your sector and your organization to be kind of not for them.
Okay. Yeah, and I think so this inclusion and diversity at the higher level is the first step, but then we also need to start thinking as well of equity practice within the work that completely relate to how diverse of a workforce you can get. So we can dig in into this when we discuss the results. But before, just as a kind of framing, what did the Institute for Government choose to work on this issue? And why the focus on recruitment? So on that specific aspect of DEI?
So the Institute for Government is a think tank which is has a mission to make UK government more effective, but that includes I think thinking about the broader policymaking ecosystem around government, because I think all governments will have things like think tanks, but also kind of lobbying organizations, public relations, public affairs, a kind of ecosystem around parliament, around a set of people in a workforce that will be moving in and out of those different areas. And so I think we see it as part of our role is to kind of think about, well, what does the ecosystem look like and where might it be lacking? And there's been a lot of discussion and effort in the UK, looking specifically at the civil service, trying to make that more diverse and address some of the problems with the lack of diversity in the civil service. But I think the same lens needs to be applied to think tanks, because think tanks, working in a think tank is a privilege, because it means that you have kind of time and space and support to do innovative research, to think a bit more broadly and creatively about the problems facing government, society, whatever sector you're interested in. But that also means that we should be careful about who we, or aware of who we as a society are giving that privilege to, and making sure it's not just for a certain subsector of people. So I think that's the kind of background for why we put together this report.
I like that message. So who is having access to this privileged position of influence and thinking? So could you summarize the key findings and recommendations?
Sure, absolutely. So we put together this report over a couple of years after holding interviews with people working on diversity and inclusion in the kind of broader policy space, and then running a survey and focus groups with people who are broadly defined from kind of underrepresented ethnic and socioeconomic groups. And the question we were trying to answer was, why are think tanks currently, why do they not seem to be representative of the broader UK population in terms of ethnicity and class? I think the things that really came out of that are the barriers to entry are actually a lot of them about perception, which is sometimes accurate and sometimes not. So as I said, many people who are thinking about going into policy might look at think tanks, think they're interesting, but think, oh, that sounds like it's not the sort of sector that would welcome someone like me. It's something quite privileged. There's a perception that think tanks are quite something quite shady, worries about a lack of clarity and transparency around funding came up a lot. And negative perceptions around recruitment, around pay, essentially the perception that think tanks were a sector which is not welcoming is something only for a small elite group of people to access. There were also some entry barriers specifically we had picked up around just making sure organizations got their recruitment processes right, and particularly having accessible and paid entry-level jobs. There are lots of, I think it's becoming less of a problem in the UK, but I think especially in lots of other countries in the US, problems with unpaid internships, which are not accessible at all to people who don't have the financial means to do that, but also other slightly more subtle kind of barriers to access, where people are expected to have postgraduate qualifications, for instance. At least in the UK, the kind of access to postgraduate qualifications, it's expensive and not everyone can afford it. So kind of making that a requirement for think tank jobs will actually reduce the diversity of the people who are able to apply. And also looking at recruitment. So we talk a bit about both outreach, making sure that you are actually think tanks are actually going out and targeting these perceptions and reducing people's negative perceptions of the sector and saying, actually, this is the impact we have. This is how we're funded. This is the kind of we're looking for people like you. Kind of, we're looking to make ourselves more diverse. So that's a really key thing. We think people workplaces should be doing. Having honest conversations about diversity in the workplace will really improve the kind of inclusion, and also thinking about what you can do about perceptions. I mean, for instance, lots of think tanks hold events very regularly. Are you inviting a diverse enough range of people to those events? How might that affect people's potential applicants' perception of your organization and the sector in general? So just making sure that you are making clear to the world in every way you can that actually think tanks aren't something which is elitist or exclusive. They're a sector which is open to, and in fact looking to actively recruit people who might have a different perspective or a different background, and to make themselves more inclusive and diverse.
And there's a lot of follow-up and interesting threads to pull from here. I'd like to start touch upon some. I think the issue about transparency and credibility that you raise at think tanks have something really key about the sector, and as you say, something that the sector should work together to do more. Reading your report, I also noticed some kind of interesting suggestions on reaching out to career services and to students as a joint sector effort. And my question was this, and also thinking about the international perspective on this, how feasible is that for small organizations to do? Who should be leading on this? Is there kind of a, how can think tanks work together to do this? Because I imagine an institute for government being able to do that. I imagine big organizations being able to support this sort of processes in terms of reaching out to career services and all that. But it's something that every organization needs, but not many organizations have an HR person. Did you give any thought of how could this be approached as a sectoral effort?
That's a really good point, because I think certainly in the UK, and I think in other countries, think tanks usually aren't big organizations. I mean, the Institute is one of the biggest in the UK, and we only have 50 people. We have kind of one or two full-time HR professionals. So it's not comparable to, say, the civil service, which I was talking about earlier, which will have kind of thousands of people working on issues like this, which makes it absolutely crucial that people actually coordinate their efforts and combine them. And I mean, one of the things that we suggested on outreach, for instance, and is beginning to happen, there's a kind of group of HR professionals in the UK working at think tanks who are kind of doing some of this coordinated work at the moment, is, for instance, producing combined materials, which kind of sum up the sector in general, give links to each individual organization involved, and then the organizations combine and coordinate to send that around to career services, or to, you know, they each pick one university and send a representative to their careers fair who is speaking on behalf of the whole sector. And I think that's absolutely crucial, because it's a very fragmented sector in most countries, the think tank sector. So there's no way we're going to change perceptions without working together on these things and doing it in a coordinated way.
That's a great idea of HR in think tanks joined work. And so I was thinking as well of the kind of global outlook of how this looks. So we don't have specific data on diversity, but we did some kind of informal analysis using education, university education as a proxy for accent privilege, akin to like people attending the Oxbridge universities.
Yeah.
So we did that in Chile, in Peru, the UK, and a couple of other countries. And we found consistently that people working in the think tank sector came from within the same universities and were part of the same group. So that's not only a UK problem, but it's a problem of the sector across the world. And yeah, I think it relates a lot to what you were saying about the sector not being properly understood. think it relates to the size as well of a sector not being too big, but having a lot of power and influence. And something that I also liked a lot about your report is your discussion reflection on the impact of think tanks and not being completely known. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, this was something that really came through in the focus groups we held, which was that lots of people said, we don't know what think tanks do, and I want to have an impact with my career, and I don't get the sense that think tanks do that. And actually, I mean, I personally would disagree with that. I think that the work of not only my think tank, but others in the UK has a big impact, and you can have a lot of influence. But I don't think that is really well understood. And there are good reasons for that. Obviously, lots of think tanks, if they are kind of have political connections or are able to persuade politicians or civil servants to implement their recommendations, they might not necessarily actually want to publicize that too much, because it might be unpopular with the politicians who are implementing what they're doing. But I think what we recommend is just very simply having a section on your website as a think tank, which just explains, this is what we do, and here are some concrete examples of what we've had changed. You know, we recommended this in the next year, the government implemented it. We have published this research, which has been cited hundreds or thousands of times. You know, just making clear actually what think tanks do, because I don't think that's something which is easy to understand from the outside. Certainly before I applied for a job at the IFG, I didn't really know what think tanks were. And even doing things like we did a podcast series, which were just kind of questions about a day in the life of a junior researcher at the Institute. That sort of thing can really help demystify what can, I think, be quite a opaque sector from the outside.
A day in the life of a junior researcher, that's a really good idea. And last year on our annual Think Tank State of the Sector report, we also addressed diversity, equity, and inclusion in a different angle to yours, and asked organizations about their DEI practices. And we surveyed around 234 organizations across the world, and 51% of them said that they have strong policies to address it, and 31 said that they have good policies or policies to address it. But when we also asked about what were these practices, and the actual practices varied a lot between organizations. So I think there's also an issue of understanding what these practices are and what diversity, equity, and inclusion actually entails for organizations. So they seem to respond to the context, of course, and where you're based, the size of the organization, what is more salient and needed in a country, and also they overlap with general work practices within the countries, which is also a big thing that we need to take into account while discussing and enacting these practices. So just a few highlights of that. So interpretation of DEI tended to feature at least one of these meanings. So it was either better representation, better working conditions, but also better research processes and management. And I think that all ties with what you were saying of why DEI is important. So we need representation, but we also need working conditions for the diverse pool of people. But then it also has a really important impact on research processes and also on how we engage with the people that we work with. So what you were mentioning of there's no one like me, if you are working in a particular policy issue and there's no one like the population or the people that are affected by that issue in the team of researchers or communicators, it's much more difficult to understand the problem.
Absolutely.
And then a couple of other things. So most seem to equate addressing DEI with improving gender equality, particularly women's representations. I think we've done much more work on that as a sector and across all sectors in general. Practices were more about that than on diversity, which is what you've been touching upon. And just on gender, so the surveys are Open think tank database shows that 75% of think tank leaders are men. Staff is kind of more varied, so 50-50 usually. It varies a bit by region. Some regions are more equal and some are less, and the differences are surprising. But then when you look into research staff, it's only 33% that are female, and it's still more men. And we've not looked upon high leadership teams. And we also saw it, this is an informal, that diversity as well could be a bit better in lower level jobs, but not equal at all in higher positions or in research positions. Organizations that have been founded by mostly men, and more than 80% have been founded by only men, like no women whatsoever in the founding teams, tend to be led by men still to this day across the world. Organizations that have been founded with at least one woman tend to be, are more prone to be led by women in this day. Yeah. But organizations founded by men and led by men have almost double the turnover than think tanks led by women. And they're bigger, usually bigger. There are exceptions, of course, but they're bigger organizations. And so that's not something that think tanks consistently register and have. So I think as we did a campaign we've been working as a sector for gender equality, we need to start working on this other diversity issues that also affect the think tank's work. And so to wrap up on your questions is, the report suggests improving recruitment practices, including with policies specifically targeted at ethnic and socioeconomic representation. So what barrier does gender, racial, and class inequality pose to the research of think tanks? You comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just to kind of address that those are really interesting statistics, and I think they reflect also the kind of what I've seen in the UK. And I think our research focuses a lot on, as you say, on recruitment and generally on junior recruitment, which is one part of it, and I think one key part of it, because the people that you recruit in, as in most organizations, the people that you're recruiting now will probably be your senior leaders in 20 or 30 years. And so I think it's, in some ways, it's encouraging that there's more gender equality, for instance, at kind of at lower levels or more junior levels than at senior levels, because hopefully that will eventually filter through. But it's also absolutely crucial, and people are very aware when they're applying for jobs of the kind of promotion and progression opportunities. And I think often what happens is that some organizations can recruit relatively diversely at a junior level, but then some people get the kind of opportunities to progress and others don't. And I think that can be a really big barrier to diversity. So I think thinking about the kind of the progression opportunities and being very clear actually about what opportunities we have to progress, this is how having a clear and fair and open process for this is how you get to the next stage, or this is how you get to being senior leadership, I think will really help on that. In terms of the kind of threats that the lack of diversity poses to the quality of research, I mean, I think it's massive. And as you say, it's not just about the kind of, I think there's the topics that you research. So if you're from a diverse background, you might know about different things or different kind of problems with the way society works that someone from a more privileged background might literally not be aware of, and might miss the opportunity to do some really interesting research. But there's also the way you think about things and the way you, as you say, you design a kind of policy program in general, and that's absolutely crucial for kind of what actual impact you have. Who do you want to impact, and how do you want to do it, and how do you have those conversations? That's all going to be completely different if you have a more diverse set of people making research decisions.
I think also it's a lot to do about the engagement and how people from diverse backgrounds can engage and the credibility they have to certain audiences. So I don't know how I'm thinking right now about Peru and this idea of this elite people having being led and not really understanding how others in the country communicate, think, engage, and what are the key, not only the key issues that they're interested in or what how each issue affects them, but also what is the best way to engage and what is the best route for engagement and actual influence, which I think varies a lot within different communities.
I think the think tank sector, again, at least in the UK, was born as something quite informal and has still has a lot of informality in it. There's a lot of kind of networking is very important, kind of evening events, kind of personal and professional networks mingling, I would say. And a lot of that can be damaging to diversity, both because it relies on people having a kind of pre-built personal network, which not everyone has, and it's often quite a privileged thing, but also for people who are, say, have a young family, they might not be able to work in the evening so that they can do a networking event or go to the dinner where kind of important decisions are being made about the think tank's policies or kind of future plans. So I think professionalizing workplaces and also thinking very carefully about particularly the impact on people with families of kind of workplace policies, and that's things like parental leave, flexibility about part-time working or taking career breaks, things like that, can be hugely important, because those are often the barriers which actually stop diverse people, people with caring responsibilities, or also people who have kind of other parts of their lives which might be getting in the way, or which they want to kind of prioritize more from actually getting to the higher ranks of a organization like that. The number one message is what you just mentioned, which is the importance of working across the sector on this. And it's impossible for any one organization to change perceptions and views of the sector as a whole by themselves. But if we kind of collaborate on this, I think you can have really positive change in terms of the diversity and also how people see the sector, and seeing the sector as actually a force for good, which I think it is.
Great. Thank you, Grant, very much for joining us in this OTT Talks. I'm very happy to have you here, and I'm sure it'll be great for our listeners. And so we are launching this on Women's Day as a tribute for those who came before us and enabled us to be doing this here today, and in support for all of those that keep working so that we can have the same rights and opportunities. So thank you, everybody, and let's keep working on this.